Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. We serve the living God. He speaks to us from His heart to our heart. The Lord is the one who gives us the revelation we need. And when we receive what He has to say, we do greater than the world system. The world system is failure. It's failure in the worst form. No matter how wonderful it looks, it is failure. All the things people do that pertain to the world, that's the beginning of their failure. And the world causes you to be seduced. It's a lie. It's not true. It's not real. It's not trustworthy. It will collapse. And when people try to follow the wisdom of the world, they collapse with it. People don't consider themselves to be for something or against something. But when you choose the life of God, hear me good, when you choose to live God's way, the world is at enmity with you. And people follow God without intending to be an enemy of the world system. And they try to blend in. That's why Jesus said, let your light shine. Be what you are. You don't have to compromise. Many people fail because they begin to compromise. They start compromising somewhere. And because they compromise somewhere, they fail. And they don't grow like they should. It hinders everything. Preachers try to compromise and be understanding towards people that are worldly. The world system is really killing the people, and they need to get as far away from it as they possibly can. But people try to save people's feelings and soothe them into the kingdom of God. And they bend the scriptures, they avoid scriptures that's directly warning them against the world system. And I watched people do this over the years as I went to church. And sometimes people were not properly warned about what the world would do. The Pentecostal churches were more adamant about steering you away from the world. But sometimes it seemed like they were afraid of the world. They were afraid the world was going to get you and seduce you. But as I went in God's presence and learned how He thinks and how He does things, He taught me not to be afraid of the world. We ended the last broadcast, the one talking about war. The Lord showed me I'm the superpower, not the world system. Nothing in the world has power over me. Nothing Satan would tempt me with has power over me and my choice. And when I looked at it from a kingdom perspective, all the world system was reduced in my eyes. I didn't even realize how it worked. But when the Lord said, don't fear falling, I saw temptation differently than I did a moment before He said, don't fear falling. And I really saw it as it really is. But I saw it from the heart. Now, when you read Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about how when you aspire to do good, evil is with you. And it's a raging war between the spirit and the flesh and the mind. And you endeavor to do good, but you find yourself doing wrong or thinking wrong or whatever. But in chapter 8, you have to go to chapter 8. He talks about life in the spirit. That's where we win. And people want to live in chapter 7, but you have to go on to chapter 8 because chapter 8 solves the problem. Being guided by the Holy Spirit. That's what I did. And I learned to win. Now, I knew that victory was available. The kind of thriving I wanted to do, I just didn't know how to do it. And I began to realize that I didn't know anybody that knew how to do it. Not the way I wanted to. They were good people, wonderful people, and maybe some of them did, but I just didn't hear anybody preaching. Not the way I was after it. And sometimes it's going to be like that. Sometimes you want to know things from the Lord that nobody has a clue about, just like you don't. Remember, people know in part. Preachers know in part. God's people know in part. We know in part. But so there are so many things to discover. And every time I discover something else from the Lord, I wonder, what else am I missing out on? Now, when I was asking the Lord to teach me how to thrive, when I was in the surviving state, the best I could do was survive my temptations. It looked like I was going to fall. Sometimes when I made my most courageous statements of faith, it looked like and it seemed just like I was going to fall, flat on my face. But I said it anyway. I dug deep. Now, we have the ability to dig deep in Him. We can do, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. I can understand all things by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I can be strengthened. You know, the Holy Spirit, He's a spirit of might. When I was weak, I could speak His word. I could feel the courage changing in my spirit, in my heart, giving me power to do what I endeavored to do until I learned what I needed to know. So when you go on to chapter 8, in Romans chapter 8, it tells you life and teaches you about life in the Spirit. You're receiving the answers of the Lord, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the power, the might, the counsel. And you fear the Lord. It all works together, give you courage, bravery. And you speak words of faith. And you find yourself in a winning state and not a loser. So I began to thrive, and it's fun. I hadn't feared the world since then. I don't remember a moment where I feared the world again or any part of it. And if you listen to me, minister, I don't preach like I'm afraid of the world. I'm not afraid of danger. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to live. Not afraid of man. And I only fear God. God is dangerous, folks. But He loves us. And I want to be fully persuaded and fully in agreement with Him. I reached a hurdle when I said, I will do all that's in His heart. I don't even know what's in His heart sometimes. I only know what He revealed already. I know His character. I know He's got my back. But I know this, that when He tells me to do something, it's perfect. Sometimes it's far beyond what I would do or think or imagine. But it's good. And He prepares me so that I can do it in faith. When the Lord speaks to you in repetition, He's building up your heart so you can serve Him in faith. You can't go and do the mighty works of God and have a slight of doubt in your heart. Drive the Philistines out of Canaan land. Your heart is Canaan land. Drive them nasty Philistines out of your heart. Every thought of doubt, every thought of the world got to go. This is your victory. This is how you win your battle and your war. You know, don't ever surrender. Winston Churchill said, we will never surrender. Ever. And we're going to go forward in Him. And we're going to see Him move and do the things of God and live truly and thrive in this life. And as you thrive, you know, and people still talk about how they have such a struggle and they're living in Romans chapter 7. Well, I'm living way over in chapter 8. And because I was free in my heart, I became free in my mind and my thoughts. and I can control my desires. I found out that, I mean, it's I learned some things about the Holy Spirit. It's good. It's not true for me anymore that I'm struggling. I'm thriving in life now. And ever since 1988, when the Lord taught me that, I began to thrive, and as I learn greater things, I thrive even more. I enjoy the Holy Spirit. I enjoy being in His presence. It feels good to know that if God says something, I'll jump on it immediately, because I've been confessing I will do all that's in His heart. So there's no turbo lag. Let me explain something about turbo lag. I'm a mechanic. I understand engines. They made a turbo to force air into the cylinder through the intake, and it gets up in the cylinder and it gives the engine more horsepower. Now the turbo is two fans. The exhaust coming out of the cylinder head is kind of like a jet stream. The explosions of the cylinder comes out as exhaust. It comes out in pressure, and it can turn this. It can turn the turbo fans up to 1,000,000 revolutions per minute. Well, the turbo fan on the exhaust side is attached to the intake fan, and it's driving another fan that's forcing air into the cylinders. And this thing can go high RPMs, very, almost 1,000,000 revolutions per minute. And so when you give it gas or diesel, you know, mostly they use it on diesel trucks, but they use it in cars too for speed. They use it in diesel trucks for power. They use it in cars for speed. Well, there's a thing called turbo lag. The turbo only spins as fast as the exhaust coming out of the engine. And usually turbo engines are lower in their compression ratio because they get their boost from the turbo. So there's a thing called turbo lag. When you give it gas in a car, the exhaust fan has to get up speed in order to drive the intake fan to blow air into the cylinder. So until the RPMs get up, you have turbo lag. The air has to go through a cooler and then through the intake, and it takes a moment before it works. There's a delay before it actually works. But once you get it going, it works. Now, when the Lord tells me to do something, I don't want any more turbo lag. So I say I will do all that's in His heart. So the time He speaks, I'll jump on it. And in full strength. Sometimes people lose a little bit when they don't act fast enough. Obedience has to match time, or it's disobedience. It's no good to God if you wait too long. To do Him some good, you got to jump on Him. You got to be ready with your faith. You got to trust the Lord enough to jump on it. Now, every Christian has a measure of faith. Your measure of faith can be increased, and so can your trust. We only use our faith to do God's work when we trust Him. You've got the engine of faith running good. But if you don't trust the Lord, you won't put it in drive and go. Think about it. Only time you use your faith to do God's business is when you trust Him. So when the Lord speaks to you in repetition, He's building up your faith. The Lord don't talk in repetition unless you're in faith. If you doubt Him, God will say nothing. And He expects you to catch on too. He's not going to spell things out for you all the time. He expects you to believe what He said the last time and be one with Him. He don't like to tell you the same thing again to get you in faith. He wants you to remain in faith. And if you're in faith, then he'll speak to you repetitiously so that the faith will develop in your heart so you can win. Now, I didn't know I had victory like I learned to have. I knew I had victory, but I didn't know I could thrive like I was desiring to thrive. But I had clues, because I knew God knew all things. And I knew that trying to survive was miserable. Surviving is not a comfortable life. It's just better than dying. It's better than getting captured, tortured, and killed. So every day I was in survival mode. I got tired of living, and so I wanted to live like the king I am. God said, we're kings and priests. Live like a king. Kings thrive. They don't just survive. They survive when they have to. That's just a stage. And I wanted that stage to be over and gone. I wanted to thrive in life. But I didn't know how to do it. It doesn't matter what you don't know how to do. The Lord does know. And he will help you to thrive in your life. You can do the very same things in your situations. You don't have to live beggarly, miserly, and live under the rule of a stupid tyrant. Satan is very stupid. He's a stupid person. He's a genius on one end because he knows corruption. He knows how to pervert God's word. But he's stupid because he did it. He went against God. So if you love God, you're an automatic enemy of the world. But if you try to blend in, you're going to realize one day the world is not your friend and it's never going to be your friend. The world system is your enemy. And people who love the world system, they become your enemy. When people are excessively greedy, they will betray God. If they'll betray God, they will betray you. If people are lustful, men that start fooling with pornography, it can harden their heart and they'll become the enemy of God unless they drive it out of their life. Friendship with the world is enmity with God, and it begins the moment you start gazing at it. But it grows in seed form. It can reduce anybody, even great men of God can be seduced if they don't fight back. But the first step, you got to understand the world is not your friend. No part of the world is your friend. Preachers that get in pride, leaders that get in pride, they inspire people to do good. Then when they seem to do better, then they preachers gossip against the people that they fear. They fear the younger generation doing better, and they backbite them. See, anytime you're in fear, Satan is attached to that part of your life. Anytime you're in fear, Satan comes with the fear. He inspired it to destroy you. And the moment you speak or act on fear, you putting Satan to work in your life. And he's going to cause whatever you fear to come to pass. Everybody I know that got in pride, they got in fear, and they failed. Some fall fast because God is merciful, and some fall slow because God is going to destroy them. But they all fall because they became an enemy against God. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher that loves God. If you start playing with the world, you become his enemy. And the corruption will grow, and people will... You'll begin to work against the life of God. You'll be jealous against people who are thriving in him, because you can't thrive in him like they are. You've cut yourself off from him through the pride, through the lust, through the greed. And greed is very dangerous. Anything that changes your focus changes everything about you. That's why we got to win our war. Anything you don't know, you can learn, but you can't trust any part of the world. You can't depend on the world in any form, in any way, in any measure. You cannot win trusting the world somewhere. The world is not your friend, it's your enemy. Now, the people of the world, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He was talking about the hard-headed people. He loved the people, and they were in a worldly condition. Now, he hates the world system, but he loved the people of the world. They were of the world. They were part of it. He loved the human, the people, the man made in his image. People that are deceived by and seduced by the world are still in his image. Now, some people want out of the world. They're tired of it. They just don't know how to get out. And the Lord made a way to give them hope that they can get out of the crushing mess they're in. They're being crushed by the weight of the world. They're trapped and seduced. They can't get out on their own. You have to live the life and preach the gospel without compromise. See, preachers that preach with compromise, they're helping people remain in the world. Because they act like it's all right, and it's not. The preachers that compromise, they don't warn you enough how dangerous it is. I never heard how dangerous the world is from people who compromise. The wisest preachers said, leave it alone. Don't do that. But people know in part. They didn't know how dangerous. Sometimes people just didn't have a revelation of how dangerous it really is. And some people knew. They saw good people be destroyed. And they warned people right. They were inspirational. But see, I remember a time when Christian people would just tell you not to sin. They never ever explain how it works systematically, how it works in seed form, a little here, a little there, and it destroys you. And they never pointed out in John. John wrote it plain as day that the world caused you to be an enemy of God. And I know people have preached it. I just didn't hear it that way. I only heard it from John. And later, the later years, people preach better. But see, the Holy Spirit, while I was trying to learn to thrive, he pointed some things out to me. I had to go find scriptures that I didn't know existed. Because I used to read verses instead of chapters. So there's a lot of things that I wasn't clued in on yet. But when you read chapters, not just verses, the Holy Spirit can give you greater insight because you have better revelation and you can see things in a better way. Sometimes I call that the spirit of the word. See, the spirit of the word comes from hearing the word. When the Lord changed my format from studying scriptures to chapters, then I got better at it. And I had more insight to work with. And it's good, folks. All I had to do then is cooperate. And I began to thrive in life. And you're going to thrive in life. You're going to do this. You're going to win. You're going to win your war. Jesus already won it. But you're going to receive the insight he gave you, and you're going to win this thing. You're going to do this. Again, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. But he's coming soon, so suddenly. He could come before the day is out. But I thank him that I'm with him. I may be out of time, but he will continue to give you all the revelation you can receive from him. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.